Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Todd Wright, a victim of Buy2K. An explanation and then some in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship specific to the umbrella that is originalhooters.com. Go to that website for location, hours of operation, easy online ordering for the Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area that support this podcast. In addition, Brandon Legal Group supports this podcast. They hope you are never in need of legal assistance. If you are, they just want you to remember. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and they are a full-service law firm. So you don't need to ask the question, well, can they help me? You ask that question directly to them, because since they are a full-service law firm, you are more likely to get a yes answer from them. And you know what? If it's no, they might be able to point you in the right direction. They're good people. I spent time at the office there with them last week talking about, ironically, podcasts, how to do them, why to do them, what works, what doesn't. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, can offer you a free consult at 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. My email for all your fantasy questions, an update on how you're doing now that we're at or past, depending on your league structure, the midway point of your regular season, write.todd@yahoo.com. I was a victim of Buy2K, loser in all my leagues, embarrassing loss in the Battle of the Network Stars, embarrassing from the standpoint of only one of my players, is this right? Only one of my players put up a touchdown, Josh Jacobs. He's still my rock, even though he hasn't been healthy now for 3 weeks or so. And he did cede some carries late in the game against Pittsburgh to number two on the depth chart as the Packers pulled away from the Steelers. So I was a victim of Buy2K. It went beyond just the six teams that were off. I'm going to give you an example. In the foundation, where 2 years ago I won the Jimmy McGinty, I drafted four wide receivers, and I can play up to three of them because there has been more productivity from tight ends that I've owned, and I am anti-mandatory tight end in fantasy leagues, but there has been value in them this year, and I've always said you can flex the tight end or a wide receiver, not a running back. In that spot, almost every week this year, I have played a tight end in the wide receiver tight end flex. So all I needed in week 8 were two wide receivers. That's all I've needed for most of the year in the foundation or even in the Battle of the Network Stars. Of these four that I drafted with early to mid-round picks that I felt very good about, this is a heck of a list. None of them were available to play for me in week 8. Here's the list. Going to try to give them to you in the order I selected them. I'm going to try. Drake London, Late scratch, not available to me. Mike Evans, broken collarbone from the previous week. I, like many, have just gone ahead and released him. I'm sure in some leagues you put him on IR. Fair enough. I went ahead and released him because in the leagues that I commission, we do not have an IR position, and I need the roster spot to try to make the playoffs. Nico Collins, not available to me for week 8. Marvin Harrison on a bye. Drafted those four. I think I drafted them with four successive draft picks going back to pre-flop. Understanding that Marvin Harrison would have a bye in week 8. Okay. I'm drafting three other guys to potentially fill two spots, and somewhere along the way, I might pick up another wide receiver who can play for me. But the point being, none of those four significant names, Evans, right? Let's think pre-flop. Evans, number one wide receiver for the Bucs, not available week 8. Drake London, number one receiver for the Falcons, not available week 8. Marvin Harrison, number one wide receiver for the Cardinals, not available week 8. Nico Collins, number one wide receiver for the Houston Texans, not available week 8. Yeah. So what did I end up doing? Picked up Tez Johnson. I actually feel pretty good about that going forward. And played Jalen Noel, who is getting attention. He just did not get in the end zone. Others did, as the Texans won a game that they're kind of at the point where they need to start putting together some victories. They can't just win one here or one there. They're not out of this. Their defense is playing very, very well. Not against Jackson Smith and Jigba, of course. But if the Texans are going to make the playoffs for a third straight year under their third-year head coach and their third-year franchise quarterback, they need to string together some wins as we hit the midpoint of the NFL season, as well as what's going on with your fantasy season. So, yes, I was a victim of Buy2K in 2025 and put up an embarrassing number in the Battle of the Network Stars, where just none of my guys other than Josh Jacobs did anything. And it wasn't quite as I did own Mike Jacobs in the Battle of Mike Evans in Battle of the Network Stars. DJ Moore was drafted to be a starting wide receiver for me in Battle of the Network Stars. That has not worked out. I'm still waiting for something to happen there. Maybe a trade. Where DJ Moore gets a fresh start somewhere else and the Bears alleviate themselves from his 20-plus million-dollar guaranteed salary for 2026. Because it's clear that something's wrong there. And I think it's just the fit. I think it's the fit with Caleb and or Ben Johnson. Maybe more Caleb than Ben. Ben's going to have Caleb's back. It's just not working. And we've seen DJ Moore with some pretty average quarterbacks put up numbers in multiple places. And I think that's a risk. Granted, it's a big number to take on for 2026. It's guaranteed. It's a fully guaranteed salary. It's not one of those where you can pick them up now and then, well, it's funny money. We can just cut them if it doesn't. No, it's guaranteed salary for 2026. In the Battle of the Network Stars, I did pick up Christian Watson and played him. And again, much like Jalen Noel, liked what I saw, didn't get in the end zone. So perhaps some of these guys that I was forced to pick up and play as a victim of Buy2K, a victim of the Mike Evans injury, and a confluence of things with wide receiver unavailability, was I might have something with one or more of these guys going forward, whether it's Christian Watson, whether it's Tez Johnson, whether it's Noel. Maybe. It was an interesting week getting away from just my teams, and you can share with me your similar Buy2K victim stories at right.todd@yahoo.com. When we review the rushing and receiving leaders for week 8, I can look at these numbers multiple ways, but really for the first time all year at the top of the board, we had more productive running backs than we had productive receivers in terms of yardage. There were only two receivers that got over 100 yards in week 8. That said, there were 17 that got 77 or more. Why do I choose that sort of as a breakoff point for comparison? There were 7 running backs who put up 100 yards or more, but there were only 8 that put up 76 or more. But I have to acknowledge that at the top and in triple digits, me, PPR is 20th century football. Buy2K also produced a week where there were more running backs gaining more yards at the top rushing than pass catchers going over triple digits. And running backs were cashing in on touchdowns. It actually was, if you had James Cook and or Jonathan Taylor or Breece Hall, there's that matchup against the Bengals, you had a better than average chance to win this past week because they were enormous numbers. Cook, 216 rushing, 2 touchdowns. Taylor, 153 rushing, 2 touchdowns. Hall, 133 rushing, 2 touchdowns. Barkley's best game, maybe all year, 150 and 1 touchdown, including an explosive play of 65. Then Vidal, who I do own, didn't play him Thursday night, 117 and 1 touchdown, going back to the Thursday night game. Dobbins, 111 and no touchdowns. Beyond that, though, granted, matchup against the Cowboys, we saw more of RJ Harvey than we ever did. Maybe some of you playing the matchup or Buy2K, you've hung in there with RJ Harvey and you played him. Like, well, I have no choice, and they are against the Cowboys. It paid off. 46 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, and he had a receiving touchdown as well. He had 3 touchdowns. Tank Bigsby, the backup to Saquon Barkley in Philly, put up 104 yards rushing on 9 carries as the Eagles gave the Giants some payback from a couple of weeks ago. And let's drop down 3 on the rushing board just to talk about. Samaje Perine was 8th in rushing yards for the week with 94 in the matchup against the Jets. Chase Brown was 10th, 73 yards rushing, 1 touchdown. That's 2 weeks in a row. For those of you that, like Vladimir in the League of Bulgarians, who have hung in there on Chase Brown, that's 2 good games in a row, both with Flacco under center. Bengals 1-1, lost 1. They're doing things offensively. I will just make a comment about, for those that say, how the hell could the Bengals lose that game to the Jets? Well, part of the reason is you fired your defensive coordinator last year, and there was a lot of blame put on Lou Anarumo for the problem with the Bengals. Yeah. Guess where Lou is now? Indianapolis. How are they doing? Yeah. Anarumo was not the problem in Cincinnati. And those that pointed fingers at him were wrong to do so. Perhaps Anarumo was miffed about losing some key players, not getting enough players he wanted to work with. But we've seen him do really good things, make strong in-game adjustments. This guy freaking coaches. He game plans, he looks at films, and as things are happening in the game, he makes adjustments. He doesn't just sit there and then would say afterwards, well, we'll go back and look at the film and we'll fix it. He tries to fix it immediately, in-game. And he's a plus for the Colts as they continue to show the way in their division and potentially in the AFC. Also, Travion Henderson, 10 carries, 75 yards. He did have a lost fumble in the Patriots' blasting of the Browns. When Judkins went down, the Browns were done, even though they had, what, an early first quarter lead in that game. Quickly looking at some of those receiver numbers, if my iPad will cooperate, which honestly it hasn't been doing a lot recently, and right now it's not. I think we're about to get some receiving numbers. 3, 2, yes, I know what I'm doing here. There they are. Tucker Kraft, 7 for 143, was a true beast on the Sunday night game. 2 touchdowns. Roma Dunze, in a losing effort to a Ravens team down to their third quarterback. This may be a separate podcast, by the way. How about this? In bye 2K, where 6 teams were off the max for the year. So 6 teams didn't even play. 9 teams, channeling Ferris Bueller, 9 teams started a backup quarterback. One of them won. It was Baltimore. And it was Huntley. Why the hell did they sign Cooper Rush? It made no sense to me. It was not a fit. Not a fit at all. And I'm a Cooper Rush fan. When Dak has gone down in recent years, Cooper Rush has won games. But it was clear that there were specific things done by Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys to protect Cooper Rush and play to his strengths and to use CeeDee Lamb in a big role. Cooper Rush on the Ravens was not sensible to me. Huntley can do some of the things that Jackson does, which is how they constructed the offense. So we go, 1-8 were teams that started backup quarterbacks. And when I say backup, someone different than their opening day starter. 9 teams of 26 that were playing in the NFL, not even a full 32, started backups week 8. One of them won. And it wasn't a win against another team with a backup quarterback. Baltimore with their backup, who should have been their backup all along, not Cooper Rush, beat the Bears and Caleb. Tet McMillan continues to frustrate fantasy owners because he doesn't score, as Carolina got blasted by Buffalo. And I think, speaking of backup quarterbacks, that was one of the games. And I got nothing against the guy. Andy Dalton is done. He's done. As a player, he's done. Yes, as a backup quarterback, he's done. Saw it last year. You saw it on Sunday. Don't blame the team. No, he's done. Kelsey, 6 for 99 on Monday night with a touch. Jalen Waddle, 5 for 99 and a touch. Michael Pittman, 8 for 95, touchdown. Rashee Rice, and it could have been more, 9 for 93 and a touchdown. Those of you that drafted him pre-flop that survived the first 6 weeks, you've gotten a nice payoff in just 2 games from Rice. DK for Tennessee, 7 for 93. That's 2 weeks in a row. That's since the coaching change. Even though the play caller is still the same, something there has changed. Granted, Ridley's been down. But there is a tangible difference since the firing of the head coach with the use of DK. How connected is it to the Ridley injury? Are they like me trying to piece together a lineup of receivers? Maybe. But he's done decent for 2 weeks in a row. Ja'Marr Chase, 12 for 91. Mac Hollins, 7 for 89. Troy Franklin, you just don't know. But as a dart throw right now, that's one of those guys. We see him every year. They kind of go on and off the waiver wire, and you're looking for the plug-and-play guy. Troy Franklin is one of those 50-50 fantasy guys. If you need a player for 1 week and he's sitting on waivers, he might be able to give you double-digit points. 6 for 89, 2 touchdowns in the win against Dallas. Shakir, 6 for 88 in a touch. McConkey, 6 for 88 in a touch. I don't know why the Bills don't throw to Shakir more. I'm sure Bills fans feel the same way. He's good. He's fast. He has moves. Why isn't he used more? And then Christian Watson, 4 for 85 in his return. And it was an ACL. It wasn't the sort of chronic hamstring soft tissue injuries. It was a nice return for Watson that the Packers need going forward. Buys for week 9, looking ahead, get these guys out of your lineup. Cleveland, Jets, Eagles, Bucks. Get them out of your lineup. See what you got on the bench. Start looking at waivers. Those are your week 9 buys. We'll talk more later in the week. Send me your emails at right.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.